Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and there's so much information about personal health all over. What soda can do to your body, calorie counts, is coffee good for you or bad for you this week, that many people finally just turn away, numb, hoping that their doctors can catch them up when something goes wrong. Well, Thomas Goetz, the executive editor of Wired magazine, thinks this is the worst thing you can do. In his new book, The Decision Tree, Taking Control of Your Health in the New Era of Personalized Medicine, Goetz lays out the ways that the information age can be applied to your own health and makes a strong case for doing the hard work to understand your body. Thomas, hi. Welcome to WNYC.
Hi, Brian. It's a pleasure.
And this is exactly not what they're debating in Washington this weekend with respect to health reform. Is that why you wrote this book?
Right. Well, no, that's actually a kind of happy coincidence. But, you know, what they're talking about in Washington is to take care of the health care crisis, insurance crisis. There's also a health crisis going on in this country. You know, there are 70% of the country is overweight or obese. We actually have, in certain pockets of this country, there's life expectancy is declining because of these chronic conditions that are largely a consequence of personal behavior. You know, we have some role in our health, and the idea of the book is to help people understand what that role is.
And your thesis, I think, is that the information to make informed decisions is out there, and that we just need to take the time and do some difficult work to track it and use it.
Right.
But
right.
There is so much information out there that we would all, you know, spend half our lives on the internet trying to figure out what to do about every part of our body, whether it hurts or not.
Right. And I talk about it as a cacophony of healthcare information, right? There's no end of new research and new reports and new studies that are telling us to do all these things, oftentimes things we shouldn't be doing about our health. The trick is, how do we process that information? How do we make it meaningful to us? How do we have some connection to it that actually is empowering? And the kind of hopeful thing about information technology right now is that there's these tools of personalization that let us kind of understand that information in a very personal way. And that makes it more meaningful. It makes it more likely stuff that we're going to actually act on.
Can you give me an example?
Sure. Well, there's this great website, for instance, called lifemath.com or .net, lifemath.net. And it's done by a Harvard Medical School lab. And what it does is you just enter a few simple pieces of demographic information, your age, your weight, your height. And what it gives you is it crunches your numbers together with the kind of huge apparatus of healthcare recommendations, screening recommendations developed by the Department of Health and Human Services. And it gives you personalized recommendations for what you yourself, the screening test that you should consider. And it's a really dramatic way to think about, what actions you can take.
Does that involve getting your personal DNA map?
So that's certainly an option. I mean, there are, you know, recently there have been these companies that offer personal genomic tests. And those are useful for some people. It's intimidating. It's scary information for other people. I think the useful thing about personal genomics is that it's a way to help us think about what some of our risks might be down the road. We already talk about genetics when we talk about family history. We're already thinking in terms of genetics. We just don't call it that. So it's just a kind of another way of approaching what might be happening.
But even short of that, even short of getting those personal genomics maps, you're saying we could use a site like the one you're describing to find out which particular screening test would be right for us. So that would be beyond the ones that are considered standard, like mammography after a certain age, colonoscopy after a certain age. Everybody's supposed to get those.
Well, actually, no. Everybody isn't supposed to get those, right? All those recommendations, all those tests come with very specific demographics. Some people are supposed to get them. Women under 50 are. If you're 40, say, or 44-year-old woman, but you have maybe a family history, you might be more inclined to take it. So these tools basically help you winnow all of that information, all of those kind of statistics and probabilities, and make it very clear what you yourself are supposed to do.
And you're very big on screening in general from reading the book. But screening has, maybe since you finished your manuscript, you know, has become the big new second thought in American medicine. Maybe these, you know, the PSA tests for prostate cancer may be leading to more false positives than it's worth. Mammography, as you know, coming under new questioning, even colonoscopies.
So what I'm big on in the book is what I call smart screening. I make a distinction between smart screening and dumb screening. Dumb screening is the use of of some technologies and some tests that, that are actually really expensive tests and oftentimes have poor specificity. So they are not very good at identifying. You know, they have basically high false positives. So the trick is, with every screen test, you have these, again, you have these probabilities that you need to sift through before you identify the perfect ideal target group. And so I'm in favor of low-cost screening technologies that have high accuracy. I think there's a tendency right now to actually overuse other technologies like CT scans. We shouldn't be using those for screening because they're extremely expensive and they show us all sorts of things that actually we shouldn't worry about.
We have a listener who just posted on our comments page that, quote, I just took the Life Math Test.
Oh, good.
Two top recommendations for me, a 6'4" male, 27 years old. Results, the most productive interventions, get screened and treated for hypertension. Days of life added, 137.
Right. It gives you an actual, it's a pretty amazing tool because it gives you the actual average or estimation of how many days of your life it will add by taking certain actions.
And it also said, get screened for alcohol abuse. So with the, they have asked this person, how often do you drink?
No, it's going by probability. So it's based on...
by being a male age 27?
Exactly. Probably, actually, you know, I think we all went through that phase.
What's the role of the doctor in this?
So that's a very good question. Kind of is this? Some people ask, is this supposed to replace the doctor? And it's not at all, you know. But the way we think about the way we use our doctor right now is it's kind of when something goes wrong with our health. In fact, when I go to the doctor, the first thing you ask is what's wrong? Why are you here? And that's not the way to approach our health. The way to approach our health is to kind of constantly keep in good health and not wait for something to go wrong. And so there's all sorts of actions that we could be taking before we ever think about the doctor. And that's what's so auspicious about all these new tools is that they help us maintain good habits and pursue positive health goals before we even need to think of a doctor. Now a doctor is a useful resource. They are experts. They're our allies. But the whole idea is that this is a partnership, not something where we defer all the decisions to our doctor.
Can you give us an example of how people react to finding out potential bad news about their health future? Because you're coming at this from a very logical, rational place. And yet there's the emotional side of it, too, which is, you know, people don't necessarily want to know the things that might someday kill them in particular. It's
right.
Scary.
Right. Well, yeah, so the easiest way, the simplest way to think about our health is not to think about it at all, right? It's very easy. Then eventually something's going to happen to us and we're going to die and we never really were bothered by it. So what I'm proposing or what I'm suggesting, recommending, is that people kind of deal with the complexity, that they actually take a step towards trying to understand what their risks are, what the benefits of certain actions are, what the trade-offs are. That makes things more complicated. That makes life more complicated. The benefit is better health and longer life.
Did you do it? Did you get your DNA mapped, or what of this have you done?
Yeah, so I've done that. I've gotten my genome scan. I've actually gotten my whole family's genome scan, my wife and my two kids. And we learned a little bit. We didn't learn any kind of scary stuff, but we learned slight predispositions that might affect us. You know, we eat less red meat than we used to probably, based on a certain increased risk for colon cancer, things like that.
And your background is in the tech world. You're the editor of Wired magazine. So is there an app for this?
Actually, there are thousands of apps. That's one of the auspicious things, really, really amazing things that's happened since I started writing the book is the iPhone App Store came online, and now there are thousands of tracking tools that make it very easy for people to identify a health goal, whether it's to exercise more or lose weight, and to use these very simple apps to click a few buttons and track these things and work their way, use a feedback loop, basically, and work towards better health.
We're running out of time, but I want to get in two other fascinating things from your book for our listeners. You mentioned that by simply paying attention to something related to health in a systematic and organized way, that can have a definitive effect in tests.
Yeah. Yeah, so there's lots of research that correlates that when people engage in their health, when they pay attention to it, when they actually participate in the decision-making, that they statistically have better outcomes. So it doesn't happen in all cases, right? Simply by doing this, simply by engaging your health, you're not guaranteed perfect health. None of us can guarantee perfect health. But on average, we tend to have better outcomes when you are engaged in the decision-making, when you're a partner in the whole idea of what's...
Is there an example? Do people who take their blood pressure a lot, develop lower blood pressure?
Actually, people, yes, exactly. There's a great study done at the University of Ottawa that gave people at home blood pressure monitors, and then they had a control group that was going to the doctor. And both groups had hypertension. They had high blood pressure. The home group that was monitoring had, after 3 months, had significantly better blood pressure control than the group that was going to the doctor.
Because
they were in control of it. They were watching their numbers. They were able to measure their numbers constantly, and they felt some sense of agency. They felt some sense of engagement with their health.
Kept them engaged in changing their behaviors?
Exactly. I mean, this is, you know, it goes towards the stuff that we think about when we think about stress, when we think about control in general. It's a really kind of empowering thing that kind of has immediate ramifications for our health.
And you proposed new labeling rules for drugs. Very briefly, what would your label look like?
Right. So this is something that comes out of Dartmouth University, and it's called a drug facts box. And it's kind of based on the nutritional information label that's on our cereal. And it basically, it takes all that health information that's very fine print, or all that drug information that's in that fine print, and it recontextualizes it and makes it very clear what the risks and benefits of drugs are, who they're effective for, kind of what the actual efficacy rates of drugs are, because drugs aren't kind of effective for all people. And when we deliver information that way, when we put it in this kind of simple drug facts box, people understand what they're taking, and they actually tend to make better decisions in terms of what pharmaceuticals to take.
Thomas Goetz, editor of Wired Magazine, is now the author of The Decision Tree, Taking Control of Your Health in the New Era of Personalized Medicine. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Brian.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up next, we will meet the brand new language columnist for the New York Times Magazine, replacing the late William Safire, and we will get a sneak preview of the word he deconstructs this Sunday.